This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to this Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 94. My name is Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conquers3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my colleague, Wheelie Dealer. Wheelie Pete. You can find him at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. Welcome to this podcast, ladies and gents. Thank you for coming back. Thank you all that have subscribed to the Twin Peaks Challenge. It's been an absolutely phenomenal success regarding the numbers. Thank you for all of you that subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. We're bumping the numbers up there. We're hoping to cross that 800 number this month. So if you've not signed up yet for the YouTube channel, please, please, please do so. Even if you just listen on Spotify, please just go and just hit the button. I'm sure you use YouTube for something else as well. And just subscribe to the Conquers Corner channel there. And here we are, another bumper week regarding the FTSE. I think everyone's happy at the minute regarding the stocks. Portfolios are going up. ISA values are going up. What can I say? Let's enjoy it while we can. Pete, your thoughts?
Well, hello, everyone. I think after last year, it's just, I mean, we talked about this on podcast 93. After last year, it's just psychologically and whatever, it's just such a nice boost, isn't it, to actually have some positivity and to actually feel good about things as opposed to this continual negative drip. I mean, I'm sure we will get some tough times in 2023 on the markets. I particularly think, as I've said all along, I think sort of March, that March-April period is always difficult, and October is very often, you know, September, October is often a nasty time. So I wouldn't think we need to bear those seasonal factors in mind. And of course, there's so many other things that can, you know, with the Ukraine war ongoing and whatever, so many things that can rock the boat. But it's interesting that I'm picking up generally that a lot of the macroeconomic news from around the world seems to be a bit more positive than what expectations were last year. I even heard some economic body today or other for the UK was saying that the UK might avoid recession this year, which is just like, compared to where we were a few months ago, it is incredible difference.
Yeah, we could just keep our fingers crossed, mate. We'd love for the Ukraine war, first and foremost, to be over. We're sadly coming up to nearly a year, Pete. It's not far away, a couple of weeks, and we're going to be hitting a year. And you and I had this conversation when it started, and it was, you know, I think the Russians thought it'd be over within a couple of weeks, you know, if not, you know, the weekend. And here we are, almost a year later. It's still ongoing. So let's hope and pray for all of those in Ukraine that are impacted by it, that it's over, you know, soon, you know, and it doesn't carry on and prolong things. And equally, our thoughts and prayers for those in Turkey with the collapse via the earthquake over there, which is just horrendous. Buildings just dropping everywhere, you know, and
nothing
people
like
just
it.
Lost, you know.
That's incredible. I mean, in my life, obviously you and your life, because we're not hugely different in ages, we've seen loads of earthquake type natural disasters on the telly. This one's an absolute shocker. I mean, maybe it's because we've just got more access to cameras and stuff than we used to have. But it just seems incredible that these massive, like, eight-story buildings have just pancaked. And there's just one after another. I mean, it's absolutely horrific. One thing that I picked up on the news that was sort of a good news story, but it's also sort of tinged with bad news. There was... I can't remember where it was. It was somewhere in Syria. They'd found a little newborn baby that was literally newborn. It was still attached to its mother, who was dead, via the umbilical cord, all
Oh
of
my
the
gosh.
family, the mum, dad, and all the siblings were dead, but they found the little newborn baby. It's a bit bruised and stuff, but they've got her out and she's in a hospital. And it's just, what an incredible thing.
Wow.
I mean, I hope she, you know, let's hope things go well for her. But obviously, growing up without a family is not going to be easy. But hopefully, she'll be adopted or whatever, and things will work out for her. But you know,
Yeah.
it's almost like a sort of good story amongst so much
Oh, it's
bad.
definitely a good story amongst all that
Yeah.
bad, and hopefully, you know, she survives, and that'll be a story that people will be following for generations, really,
That'd be
watching her
incredible. Yeah.
throughout her life, maybe. And you know, that's thanks for sharing that, Pete. I needed some good news because I think I've shared it with you. I won't share it with our audience because it's just too boring and just too difficult and too stressful. But it's been an absolute shocking week for me since Friday.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that bit of good news. Continuing back to markets, mate. FTSE closed today. FTSE 100 up 0.26%. So that's 20 points. Closed at 7,850. I always do this. Closed up 20 points at 7,885 points today. So it's around or just shy of 5%, 5.8% up year to date. It's a strong start for the
Wow.
FTSE 100.
Yeah.
And the actual blue chip again reached a new all-time high today of 7,926. So it keeps nudging that high. And depending on what the Americans do tonight and you know what happens later on this month, we might well see that 8,000 that you promised us, Pete. You know, if you don't get it, it's on
Oh.
you and you've jinxed it.
Well, I mean, it's interesting today, as you said, intraday, because we're recording this on, was it Wednesday the 8th of February 2023? Intraday, and pretty much first thing, the FTSE 100 just shot out of the traps, and
Absolutely.
was off like a, you know, like a greyhound sort of thing. But it couldn't hold those highs, and it came back. But it actually made a new all-time high ever. That's just like incredible. And I think when you look at the context of the chart, I think it's just a matter of time before it will cement that
Yeah,
all-time
yeah, yeah,
high.
yeah.
You know, it obviously wants to get there. I mean, I think, as I said, I still think we'll have a bit of a pullback in probably late February, March, whatever. But I think we've got enough, you know, runway in the next few weeks for it to be able to push on, maybe do 8,000. Yeah. That I mean, I think if it can sort of get, you know, back where it was intraday today, if it can close there, it's just almost inevitable it'll hit 8,000, and maybe it'll go a little bit more before it starts to drop. But the RSIs, when you look at the daily RSI on the FTSE 100, it's really high. It's like up at 70. I think that's what it's fighting against. Every time it's trying to push up, it's fighting against a very overbought market.
Yeah. It's going to be hard. The pressure at the top, that resistance level at eight, it's almost like it 8,000 just needs to pop, and when it pops, it'll just go off and you know, start and set even further highs beyond 8,000 if it arrives. Otherwise, it'll just keep bouncing off it and drifting down once it gets nearer and nearer. I don't often talk about this particular indices, Pete, but I think I need to touch on it today because there's a couple of stocks that absolutely. I've just done so well for it,
Oh,
and
wow.
that's the FTSE AIM 100, the top 100 companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and within that, it's up. It closed up 0.43%. Closed up 4,251, and year to date, that was just shy of 6% itself as well. Year to date, if I get my calcs right. And there's two stocks I want to talk about within that space, which seem to be absolutely flying on AIM at present. And obviously, they helped the whole FTSE AIM All Share Index. Two companies, Pete. One of them, a few people have, I think, have picked on the Twin Peaks Challenge, and a few people have been talking about this stock for a little while. And it's Inspecs Group. The eyewear group, the global eyewear
Oh
company,
yeah,
diverse
you're
distribution channel, 70,000 retail outlets in 880 countries, operating 14 sales offices. across the UK, manufacturing based in Vietnam, China, Italy, and the UK. The share price, Pete, ticker symbol is SPEC, is up 167%. Yeah. In the past month only. That's some move.
It's some move, yeah? But if you look at the chart on it, it's basically a story where it's been falling for two thirds of one. So 8 months, it's been falling, yeah, on the chart, and it's made some serious lows. And there was even a gap. It gapped at the open and dropped down. But now it's sort of bounced back. But if you look at it today and stuff, it's down 6.2% today. It looks like it could be rolling over. So it's almost like the excitement of the leap up is starting to wane. I wonder if it's going to go into a sideways phase. That's how you so often find this. When something has been massively sold down, it just is very easy for it to bounce. And you quite often get these big bounces. But actually catching them is hard to do.
Absolutely. The second one that's had a good start to the year on AIM is Ceres Power, which is the clean technology company which enables the world's most progressive companies to deliver clean energy solutions at scale and at speed. And that's up 38% in the past month. So that's done exceptionally well as well. Ticker symbol CWR, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting that the chart, okay, they're not huge. I mean, that one's been falling for 2 years in a two-year downtrend channel, and it looks like it's just bounced within that channel. So chances are it might easily just drop back down again. But it's interesting. Again, it's one that it's leapt up really strongly, and of course now the buy-in pressure is starting to wane because there's been such a rush of buy-in to get it. You see it so often.
Absolutely. So I wanted to talk about that. And then over to you, Pete. Do you want to talk about any particular stocks that you've got on your agenda or you've seen a bit of news on? Anything interesting?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's a bit of a stock one and a bit of a sort of principle one. The stock that brought it to my attention, although I have been thinking this way for a little while, CREI, which is Custodian REIT, REI, you know, yeah, REIT, property. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real Estate Investment Trust. They had results today, and CREI is a small property company. I think it's only about 400 million market cap. And it's very much sort of regional base, so it's not in the cities and stuff, it's more in the regions.
Yeah.
And it appears to have quite a mix of properties. So from reading their update and stuff today, and from what I know about them, they've got a bit of retail, you know, some offices, some warehouse type stuff, some industrial. So they've got a real mix of properties. And I think the philosophy is they'll basically buy anything in the property sphere if it looks good value to them. That's the approach they seem to take. But what I thought was interesting was a few things on it. First thing was that they've been selling off some of their properties, and they've been getting higher than the estimated values. So I thought that was interesting.
It was a positive, yeah.
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 The other thing was they've done a lot of relets. So property that they had let out already, they've had the leases renewed and stuff. They're like up massively, like up 18%. The amount they're charging for the lease is up 18%. And it sort of suggests that they're able to relet at really, you know, decent prices. So I thought that was interesting. And the other thing was that they had a few vacancies. I think the vacancy, the amount of vacancies was reasonably high, I think, for a property company. It might have had, say, 15% vacancies. But they actually were reducing that and able to let property out. So it's really strange when you see all these write-downs in the commercial property sector. Yeah, those three factors I've just mentioned, okay, some of it may be specific to custodian right, but that sort of flies against what I'm seeing elsewhere. And it was interesting that custodian right had their own valuation written down by 6% today on the value of the properties. But of course, that's all done by these, property valuation companies, is it Jones Lang LaSalle or whatever they're called, and whoever. But it can be wrong, and I do wonder if that's what was. It's really weird. It's like if we're supposedly having a recession and things are bad, it's really strange that commercial property actually seems to be doing a lot better than you'd think.
Yeah, I think what it's down to, Pete, a lot of it is like you say, the diversity within the portfolio, but also the quality of the management, when they did their buying and when they did their selling, and how much debt they're carrying. Servicing that debt sometimes is what actually whacks a lot of these REITs, and especially the commercial ones that have got like shopping malls and all the rest of it. Once we hit a troubled period and one of the large renters come back and say, actually, we're going to close all our retail outlets, and that's across several of their shopping centres. That can really impact them because they have that's lots of space then that's empty, void, and not getting any rent. But if custodian REIT, as you say, are managing that much better and getting rid of their non-core aspects of what they've got as property, then yeah, follow the good management, Pete.
Well,
You didn't say
exactly.
if they did they pay a dividend, by the way?
Yeah, I think from memory, I think it was around 4%. I'll have
It's not
a
bad.
quick
It's not bad.
butcher.
And if it's able to maintain it and it's sitting at a discount to NAV, sometimes you can hide in safer places and actually, get yourself a dividend whilst the market takes its time to appreciate it. And if the NAV then discount to NAV then reduces, then you're on a win-win, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, again, from memory, because I looked at the numbers this morning, I'm pretty sure it was on a discount to NAV. I think
Yeah.
most commercial property probably is at the moment.
At the moment, yeah, absolutely.
The other thing with property that I think we need to be really careful of is
Yeah.
that whole environmental thing is going to come into play. So what is going to happen is that if you've got, like with offices and stuff, right? If you've got the top energy efficiency level buildings, yeah, then you're going to be well placed. If you've got offices that aren't that energy efficient, that's going to be a real problem in coming years because, no company is going to want to lease out an office block that isn't energy efficient when everyone's, heading towards net zero and whatever. So I think that's something to really watch out for is like, what are the energy efficiency ratings of the portfolio they've got? Looking on SharePad, it looks like, yeah, forecast, oh mate, forecast dividend 6%.
That's pretty good, mate.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty
Rising
good.
to 6.1%. I mean, with what
Yeah.
looks like decent management, you'll need to check the numbers, but according to the SharePad figures, it says 18% discount to NAV. So, I mean,
That's
yeah.
pretty good. But you touched on a really good point there as well, Pete, about the ESG and the monies that they'll have to some of these companies have to spend to get them up to the higher rating regarding efficiency and everything else on the ESG side. And those companies that have done it already will obviously be paying less going forward, but getting a premium on their property because they've got all those higher standards of efficiencies in their buildings and outlets. So that's a really, really good point, the
You
ones that have spent the money.
just reminded me of something very linked to that. So it's like not only will they have to spend money to upgrade those buildings, or they'll have to dispose of them. And of course, one of the problems is going to be the valuations are going to get written down on the buildings that are not very energy efficient, whereas the buildings that are really good will get higher valuations.
Absolutely,
That's
absolutely,
really. That really is something to look out for, isn't it? Is it? I mean,
absolutely.
I know a lot of the bigger property companies have been shuffling the decks in recent years. I think they've seen a lot of this coming. But I think there's going to be a lot of them that could easily get caught out.
Absolutely agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. Okie dokie, Pete. I want to touch on one of our old favourites that I used to hold, no longer hold it. And we talked in the last podcast, and I was forewarning people to prep themselves to have a look at the advertising companies and the ad tech companies and all those sort of companies. And today there's some news from Future. Yeah, do you see the news on Future?
I didn't see it. I didn't
and
see
the base, yeah, basically the reiterated full year guidance and, and basically sends a slow. There's a continued slowdown in audience numbers and consumer spending, and basically their full year adjusted operating profits are expected to be in line with forecasts, having risen 39% to 271.7 million to the 12 months ending September. However, basically we're saying that the ad spend, digital side, and all the rest of it was basically weaker readership and weaker customer spend. So their customers that advertise in their magazine essentially are spending less on advertising. And the share price finished today down 6%, and they're one of the bigger ones. So if the bigger companies in advertising space are seeing a slowdown on their client spending for advertising, the smaller ones may well get impacted going forward. So it's, again, I'm just reiterating that point regarding those sort of media related and advertising sort of related sort of companies to keep an eye out on that regarding profit warnings. So there's two things of parallel running at the moment. We touched on it before, I'm touching on it again. More takeovers coming, more profit warnings coming. You know, today we saw one. What was it called? Seven Dig, Pete. You saw that, the news on Seven Dig?
No, I didn't. Do you know what?
No.
I see. It seems like I've missed loads of the RNSs today.
I think you've been watching too much. You know, TV, mate, on the junk channel.
It's bizarre.
So essentially, you've got Seven Dig. Basically, got a recommended cash offer, Pete, at 0.695 pence per share.
Right.
The share price closed yesterday at 0.325. So today's premium takeover was 114%. Yeah, wow. It's a company whose share price has absolutely been battered, and it's going to be taken out of its misery by another company. And the share price rose 107% today on that news that came out at 3 p.m. this afternoon. So the company is called Song Trader, is coming to buy Seven Digital Group and take it out of the market. It's been it's a recommended cash offer. So the market cap with all the shares is going to be £19.4 million if it goes ahead, and it'll be off the market at some point this year. So congratulations to all shareholders that have that, or anybody that's recently bought it in the last month or so, or 6 months. That'll be a nice premium for anybody that's got that stock. So well done.
Yeah, that's one that sort of it always looked like it promised so much, but in terms of its time before the takeover, as you can see on the chart, I mean, it was, you know, up really high, and it's fallen right down and been going along the bottom as a sort of penny stock kind of thing. And what's really interesting about it is that you listen to things like Radio 2, they quite often say at the end of a Radio 2 show, such and such was a Seven Digital production. And I've heard that on a few things.
Oh, so
they're obviously quite good at doing a few things. What they haven't been good at is doing it consistently and making profit and all the usual good stuff we look for, you know. But hopefully for Seven Digital, in terms of its employees and its future, hopefully as part of a bigger group, it can actually fulfill some of its promise, maybe. But that doesn't help people who bought it up really high and haven't even got their money back on the takeover, you know.
Yeah, I think unfortunately there's going to be a few of those individuals, unless they actually purchased it.
Quite often when you're in that situation where you've had one and it's gone badly wrong and it gets a takeover, it's just a welcome relief. It makes a decision for you. Don't worry about it. It's life. It's what happens. It gets taken over. You've got rid of a problem. It's taken a problem off your hands, basically.
Absolutely. So that's a bit of welcome news for those. Another company that had a recent takeover, I think, where are we now? Wednesday. not a takeover, but a profit warning, and has been hammered all the way down over the past couple of months. Is a former favourite. EKF, Pete, used to follow EKF?
Yeah, EKF.
And that got walloped. I think it was down about 40% year to date on Monday.
Yeah.
So that's another one that's had a profit warning that people would have been, a lot of people would have been holding that stock as well. So again, as I said, there's more profit warnings coming regarding certain stocks. And then another retail, sorry, go on.
I think EKF, I mean, I think really it's fundamentally a pretty good business. And from reading the update that came out the other day, I think a lot of it was about the switch from COVID related work. The intention was to switch from, it was almost as if when COVID came along, I think it was their testing business and something else, they went all COVID with it and put a big concentration on COVID. And of course, that inflated the figures in 2020, 2021, whatever it was. And of course, then they had to move to a position where they got other business to cover that. And I think in practice, that's where it hasn't happened. But I think, it is actually really a good business underneath. So it's probably going to go through that period of being pretty useless for quite a while. Mind you, we're talking about takeovers, the kind of thing that might get a takeover.
It's a possibility. My only concern with it is the fact that it's never good when you lose your CEO. When your CEO steps down immediately and walks out the door, there's going to be a period of transition where they've got to sort themselves out.
Absolutely.
And when the new CEO comes, invariably, he or she tends to change the CFO. Because that's the person who gets the blame after the former CEO is gone. So there might be a longer period of transition regarding that. And then once they start to sort themselves out, you're absolutely spot on. As soon as they start sorting things out, somebody will go, a lot of the problems have gone, wallop. Let's take them out of circulation and make a takeover offer.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
When a new CEO gets appointed, that's often the start of the recovery. That's the time maybe to start looking at it again and thinking, could this be one to buy?
I'll definitely keep an eye on it. Absolutely. Go on, Pete.
I've got a conceptual thing to talk about. Do you want to do a stock first? Because this is more.
I want to quickly talk about another retail stock, because my concern is you've seen lots of what's in the news that you're seeing, Pete, and I'm seeing, and this is what's going to be. I want to raise as a concern for people that are invested in this space is a lot of companies are shutting down their retail outlets up and down the country. We've seen wave upon wave. So far, since September last year, and we're now in February, we're closing X amount of shops up and down the country, You know, if it's retail related and consumer facing, and people are reining in because of, the cost of living crisis or whatever the reasons are, less money is being made redundant elsewhere, and people are shopping less and not even shopping online, then companies are going to start squeezing, the outlets they've got. And goes back to your thing about commercial properties regarding custodian REIT. And that's Sosander, Pete. Remember?
Lots
of people were in that particular stock.
Yeah.
And lots of people were championing that in 2020 and 2021 and 2022. And that has had a really good move since about September, October time. And that got walloped today as well. That was down 14% at 22.5p after they came back. And did another placing again. The share price had a good run since September, October, gone up significantly. Time to raise some money, they raised some money at 22p, raising over $4.5 million quid. So that's another one to just bear in mind, people, that as we've had a good run from late September-ish, Pete, mini rally. Year to date, there's going to be companies out there that are going to try and shore up their finances. So we might see some more capital raising, more placings, And sometimes those places could be a significant discount to the share price it was previously at. So just bear that in mind, folks, and have a look at how much debt your company is holding. And if the one, if you've got a company that's got cash, hopefully it won't be coming to the market to raise cash because it's strong enough to do so without it.
Joe,
Sorry, Pete, you wanted to say?
I think there's a bit of nuance in the sauce, SOS.
And the SOS, nice one. I see where you're going there. I saw it,
No, mate,
yeah.
that gives me another anecdote that must be thrown in. You
There's a
know,
song. The Police song.
yeah, there
I'll
is
sing
that.
an SOS to the
Message in a
world. I
bottle.
hope that, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's another bit of Police and Sting. Go
mate,
on.
that was very tuneful. Sorry, I'm in this. I just can't believe it after that's just
Stop
happened.
taking the pee-pee. I know I've not got a
Oh,
singing voice, mate. Come on.
no, that is very good. No, it just remind me of Pete Townsend, another Pete. See, so we've got three Petes now. Pete Townsend of The Who always said that SOS by ABBA was the perfect pop song. From a sort of technical creation kind of viewpoint, it was the perfect pop song. So there you go.
Interesting.
Pete
Interesting.
Townsend of
Okay.
The Who loves ABBA. That's the
Got a lot
reality.
of time for Pete Townsend, that's for certain.
Oh, too right. So I wouldn't want his drug and drink. Anyway, let's not go there. It's too messy.
Not go
Right.
there. Is musicality, Pete.
Let's not go there. So Sosandar, yeah, the interesting twist on the Sosandar story is that they've just won a partnership with Sainsbury's to put their clothes into Sainsbury's stores, which
Okay.
could really help them on the distribution side of things. And part of the reason for the placing, apparently, they claim, is to get more money to afford the stock that's going to be needed for that. So,
Okay.
it's intriguing. On the share pad, it fell 14% today. The figures shown in share pad is a forward PE of 29, which is obviously quite high, and a
Yeah.
2-year forward PE of 19. Now, obviously, that's going to be affected by the placing and stuff. So I wouldn't have said that was a clean PE number because, and I think there must be some doubt on the earnings forecast because obviously the Sainsbury's deal could completely change things. So
Yeah, it could bring in lots of
really
revenue. Yeah,
weird
absolutely.
situation, really. I mean, I think for people who are big fans of SOS, it's probably great news. And if I held it, I'd be continuing to hold. Would I buy it as a new buyer now? I'm not so sure. I mean, SOS has had a very checkered history, hasn't it? Hasn't
Yes,
yeah.
it's gone up, it's gone down. It's thinking, crikey. I mean,
Yeah.
if you look back, and we had this conversation so many times. Those IPOs during COVID, Pete, quite a
Oh,
lot of them
and that one
haven't
was a
done
bit
so well.
before.
And there were
Yeah.
a lot of retail related ones that came out, weren't they? That maxed out in
Oh,
2020,
yeah.
2021. So yeah, interesting times for them going ahead.
So Sander, right from sort of when it first listed, and I think it's been listed quite a while, 5, 6 years maybe. It's been around a
Yeah.
while.
Okay, my error, sorry.
No. But it was almost as if from day one it was like not what I'd want to see, because I like to see businesses come onto the market that are already established, already selling stuff, already making a profit, or already on the road to making a profit and clearly there. But Sosandar was almost like a startup when it listed. And that, I'm always wary of that. It had something like two people who were supposed to be great fashion gurus and stuff. And I think that's what was the sort of excitement about the stock. I mean, I do feel, having sort of read it over the years, I do feel they're probably in the best position today they've ever been in that since they've been listed. They seem to be achieving a lot more recently than they were.
Yeah, so there's hope, mate. I think the beauty of it is that these sort of companies, it sometimes takes a lot longer than they think to actually get to that, that place where they have that trajectory where everything's going up. Profitability is going up, revenue is going up, so on and so on and so forth. And maybe it's just taken them a bit longer. And if this capital raise that they've done here now is the catalyst, then happy days.
Yeah,
Good luck to
it's
them.
interesting.
Cool.
Wait, I've got another thing to go through. Do you want to talk about a charity for a minute?
I'm going to quickly do the charity, mate, if yes, if
Yeah.
that's good with you.
Yeah, brilliant.
Because we have got some good news. We've got some supporters finally. It's not just me.
Mate, I'm gonna support. I just haven't got around to
Are
it
you
yet.
really going to support it, Pete? Or are you just going to keep telling me that until we get to the end?
I keep saying it.
Oh no, it's fine, mate. You've been busy with plenty of stuff. So
Yeah, I got
let me
tied
just
up.
share the news. So we are now at the stage, and thank you everyone that supported this so far. This is the Twin Peaks Challenge, which you can find on the Just Giving website. So that's www.justgiving, Twin Peaks Challenge 2023 or 23, and you'll find us on there. Or you just type in Memphis Fundraising for Twin Peaks Challenge 2023, you'll find us. So we're currently at £450, which is a nice little step up
Good
from
start.
£100 when we had our last podcast. And we've been very fortunate enough to have some donations from Matthew Gregory, who's we know he's on Twitter,
Yeah.
and he wrote just under 2 weeks ago, "Great to see you gents putting some positivity and love back in the world. Great podcast, always interesting and great fun." Matthew donated £25 plus some gift aid there.
Good,
So
mate.
thank you very much, Matthew. Really appreciate it, fella. Our great friend who's been supporting every single thing we've done since we've been on air, I think, regarding all the charities and the Christmas list and so on and so forth. Scrumpy Triple Two. I think
Brilliant.
we'll have to have a chat with Scrumpy at some point and get
Yeah.
him on the show, because
Excellent.
he's such a good guy.
Good man.
No doubt he'll be sponsoring us again. He tends to do regular sort of deposits throughout the year, and he donated some more money. We had an anonymous person donate to us, so thank you. We had PID, PID. I'm not
Hey.
sure if he's on Twitter or she's on Twitter, and donated some for us. So thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
I've got this chap's Twitter handle, but I haven't got it in front of me, and it's Kevin Taylor and
Oh
his partner Joanne.
yeah.
And I can't find it on Twitter. I mean, I'll have a look later on, and I'll give his Twitter handle a shout out. Very, very, very generously donated £100 to the challenge, and he said best of luck hitting your target. So thank you, Kevin, and I'll shout your Twitter handle out shortly. A chap by the name of Dan
Thanks.
Blackman said thanks, gents, for sharing your expertise in a way I understand. I've learned so much from the podcast in an enjoyable manner. Love that you dedicate so much time to great causes like Memphis UK. So thank you very much, Dan. Dan donated £50 plus £12 gift aid. We had
Cheers, Dan.
Karen, who we both know on Twitter,
Who's
Pete.
that?
Karen, yeah. I'm not gonna. I'll give a Twitter handle out in a minute.
Yeah.
Donated £10 plus gift aid. So thank you, Karen, for your support.
Cheers,
Really, really
Karen.
appreciate it. And we have our little savior here. He comes out every single time and wallops a chunk of change and supports us. And I'm having some convers I'm going to be having some conversation with him about some other matters going forward. And that's Elric at Lemming Investor, and he's donated £100 again. I'm sure he's donated about 3 grand so far to all the charities, if not more,
Thanks, Eric.
more than
Brilliant.
that since we started doing these charity fundraisers. So Elric's an absolutely phenomenal guy.
Oh, that's
And if you're not
legend.
following Elric yet, you need to follow him at Lemming Investor on Twitter. And he wrote, "Love the Memphis charity. The gift aid and support they provide is essential. The joy they bring to kids is priceless." And that's £100 and £25 gift aid. And then we had Martin 13. Martin, thank you ever so much. Thanks for caring. Hope this helps. And that was just earlier on today.
Thanks, Brian.
If not last night, Martin donated £45 plus 11.25 gift aid, and that takes our total to £450 plus gift aid. So thank you all. If you haven't donated yet, if you've enjoyed one podcast, if you enjoy two podcasts, then please just consider making a donation. Every single penny will help the disabled children and families that the Memphis charity support. And thank everybody so far that's donated. We're a long way off our targets, but we've got plenty of time ahead. So thank you all once more. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Right, yeah, mate. Well, if we got time, I got a couple of sort of things. First one that I want to share with you I'm not sure where I caught it. I think it was on Fox News. No, sorry. GB News. That is Fox
News.
Well,
that's even better, isn't it? That's much better than Fox News, Pete. You listen to watch some absolute tosh, mate. You really do.
I'll tell you what, mate. I'll tell you what. If you want a news channel, GB News is so much better than any of the other tosh.
Really?
Oh, mate. Honestly. Anyway, on Sunday, I think it was, they had Michael Portillo as a show on there for a couple of hours, yeah? I think that's the thing with GB News. You've got to be very selective about what you watch.
You're backtracking already. Now you're saying
I was thinking about it. I think a lot of it is utter garbage. Michael Portillo had this thing. And he does quite a good program. It reminds me of the Andrew Marr show because it's a bit political. It's a bit sort of art. He always has a foodie bit on it. And it sort of covers a lot of different things, but philosophy, you know, it's quite a good little mix of stuff. Anyway, he was on there and he had two people who were from the roller coaster sector. So like Alton Towers and Disneyland.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, wait for it, mate. I was really quite sort of hit by this. The first person he talked to, she'd been designing roller coasters for like 30 years. And he said, well, and she designed like, you know, all these things that send you upside down and round and round, whatever.
Yeah. The real fast and turbulent ones. Yeah.
She designed all the ones at Alton Towers and that are really mega. And she was saying how, you know, when they have like a corkscrew and it goes round, yeah, those aren't perfect spheres, perfect circles. They're actually more of a teardrop shape. Because apparently if you did it as a perfect circle, we'd throw up. But apparently as a teardrop, as a teardrop shape, the humans can sort of cope with it better. Otherwise,
Tommy can just about deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But anyway, he was asking her how you got into it. And she said, well, I really loved roller coasters when I was a kid. So I did everything I could to get into that, you know. Anyway, she did engineering and stuff and civil engineering and whatever at college. So obviously she had the sort of engineering background that you need. Anyway, where it got interested, they then went to the next, the bloke who was there. And he was more of a sort of, he wasn't a engineer as such, as in putting all the metal together and all that and the centripetal force and whatever. He was more of a conceptualizer and a designer of video games. And what he was talking about was how, not video games, of roller coasters.
Roller coaster rides, yeah.
Yeah. Theme parks. So what he was talking about was how the future now, where they're going, and I think this is already happening, is that it's going to a sort of virtual reality model. So what that will mean is it's like, say you're a little kid and you're like 5 years old, you'll go to a theme park and it'd be almost like you're being chased by a dragon, right?
Yeah.
But So in your, I don't know if you have a headset or whatever you're going to have, you think you're being chased by a dragon or whatever is going on. But actually the physical rides underneath, you're not really seeing those rides, but you're actually riding on them. And it was talking about the idea of theme parks. At the moment, you go on a ride in the theme park and you just do the loops of the corkscrew and you go up and down and whatever you do, yeah? They were saying they could make it so that you will enter a theme park and you could take any sort of any physical route around that theme park. So you could almost be going from roller coasters to like log flumes to like, I don't know, some other kind of ride. And it would be all within a virtual reality world. So they could use the same theme park to make almost like an infinite number of rides, if you see what I mean. So you'd have Chasing the Dragon, you'll have another one where you're I don't know. I don't know. You're in Star Wars or something where you're flying spaceships and stuff, but you're actually sort of physically, your body is being thrown around in this theme park world, but your mind, using VR and stuff, is in space fighting off space aliens. How mad is that?
That's where tech is going, mate.
I thought it was incredible. I was blown by that.
Augmented
Absolutely.
reality, virtual reality, absolutely.
Yeah, augmented reality. That's really what it is, isn't it? I thought that was amazing. And you think what a stellar leap that is from two twists on a corkscrew in hauteurs.
Absolutely. I keep having musicians jump into my head, and what jumped into my head then was Jamiroquai, virtual reality. Remember that Space Cowboy?
Virtual
That's what jumped in my head then.
insanity. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely
Have
mad.
you got a
I don't know
hat?
what.
Have you got a Jamiroquai
The
hat,
great
mate?
songs. Used to love his songs.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I said I'd mention those two names. So Kevin Taylor, you can find Kevin Taylor at Active Value One on Twitter, and Karen is Karen by the sea at
Hi, Karen.
Karen
Yeah.
WI 709-2279. And the others, I haven't got their account numbers on Twitter. We'll find them a bit later on.
Excellent.
Right, Pete, I've got a couple of stocks I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And one of these is from part of the Twin Peaks challenge.
Oh.
I want to thank everybody that supported this. We've had an absolutely phenomenal response. Unfortunately, a couple of people missed the deadline, and I'm going to try and sort something out regarding that going forward. But it's our first attempt at doing this. Fingers crossed it goes well. We've had 164 entries, which I was hoping we'd get
Brilliant.
50, and you've absolutely smashed it out of the park. So we've got some details here regarding. I'll tell you first about the top 20 picks, and hopefully, time permitting, Pete and I will go through these top 20 picks over the course of the next weeks and months and so forth. So we've got AVCT, which is a Vactor. We know that one, Pete.
Yeah.
THS is Theresa.
Sorry, see ya. Yeah.
TSLA, which is Tesla, which I picked as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
We already spoke about it last week. HVO, which is
HVO.
HVO,
Yeah. Yeah.
HVO. All, which is Atlantic Lithium.
Yeah.
XPF, I always forget which one that one is, Pete. XPF,
XPF.
XPF.
Oh,
We'll come back to that one. You have a look
Experience
for that one
Factory.
while I talk about the other ones.
It's Experience Factory, mate. XP
XLP, S,
Factory.
say again.
XP Factory, that is.
XP Factory.
Yeah.
SLP, which is Sylvania Platinum.
Yeah.
PTAL, which one's that one again?
That's PetroTal.
PetroTal, thank you.
Yeah.
POLB, which is Pool Beg Pharma.
Yeah.
Tech, which is one I hold. Tech Capital, which is having an absolute flyer at the moment regarding two of the news flow on that's been absolutely phenomenal of late. So that's been flying.
Yeah.
Scenic, which is CNIC, which is Central Nick, if I remember that one.
Yeah.
Cape, which is a cybersecurity company.
KAB, yeah.
INSG, which is InSig AI.
Yeah.
That's been a phenomenal pick as well. Microsoft, a lot of people have picked that one. TXP, Pete, is that the impact one?
TXP, yeah, I think it is. It's hang on, let's
TXP.
TXP Touchstone.
Touchstone, sorry, got that one
Touchstone
completely wrong. Yeah,
Petroleum, though,
Touchstone.
isn't it?
Yeah,
TXP, yeah.
that's a fuel one, isn't it? Energy.
Yeah.
Is it Touchstone Energy?
Touchstone Petroleum,
HBR,
yeah.
another energy company. Harbour.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of people are trying to catch the bottom on Darktrace because that's been spanked. It's bouncing again now because they came out. After I closed it, it went down a bit further. Short attack, went down lower again. And then the Darktrace company came out and went, we've got no reason to actually be concerned about these short attacks. We've got everything in order, got nothing to worry about, and we're going to do a buyback. The share price has gone from 2 quid, £2 ish intraday low, and I think today it touched £2.50, Pete. So I had like a 20% bounce in the past week and a half. So all those shareholders that were patient and, you know, held their breath, hopefully that some of them who bought an average down near £2, £2.10, £2.20 are back in profit. So well done those individuals. Persimmon, PSN,
PSN, yeah,
is in their top 20, and EasyJet in the top 20.
EasyJ, well. Yeah.
EasyJ. So yeah, so that was what happened there, Pete, regarding the picks. So good luck to everybody that's picked those. I'll have to have a look through. I should have done it before we started, is to see if anyone had picked 7Dig, because they'd be off to a flyer, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
114% after you know, less than a week on one of their picks. That'd be absolutely awesome.
It's so interesting.
I need to have a look through. I'm not sure.
Interesting list there, because it's a sort of mix of a lot of the old favourites that you often see, like your POLBs and your H5Os and whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was also a few like your EasyJets and Persimmon that are a bit more bigger and a bit more boring in some ways. And also a few obscure ones in there as well, like Touchstone. I mean, I don't ever see Touchstone mentioned anywhere. So it's interesting it's got in on the top 10 or top 20, whatever it was. So, interesting.
So clearly some people are expecting some really good news on some of those obscure ones, you know, or they're looking for a significant bounce going forward. So, yeah. And if it's energy related, Pete, they could be in for a good shout if prices are coming down. But all it needs is one discovery and you're off to the races, aren't you?
Yeah.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPETES. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to ShareePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
What have you got there, Pete, you want to share?
I'll talk about some stocks, might as well.
Go for it.
I've got one here, mate. I sort of interested to hear your view on it, really, because it's one that has come up a few times and I've sort of looked at it and thought about it. And I've never really massively warmed to it, but I
can hold it.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, stop it. I can't take this. Yeah.
Oh, I need to cheer. I've had a bad week, mate. I just need to cheer myself up. Sorry.
You have to come on the podcast just to get
indulge
your sanity.
Me. Just indulge me, Pete. Sorry for being silly.
So it's one that I've sort of, I mean, it does look on paper and it does look pretty good, but something just stops me getting really excited. Anyway, it is SureServe, S-U-R. Now, I guess maybe what makes me nervous about it is it used to be Lakehouse a long time ago. Can you remember that?
Lakehouse?
Lakehouse, yeah.
Wow, I've missed that name change then.
Yeah, that was a million years ago. It was Lakehouse.
Wow.
And if you remember Lakehouse, well, it's like basically it did like sort of energy sort of work. So like replacing boilers and doing radiators and whatever for housing associations on quite a large scale. And Lakehouse listed, and it was one of these stock market darlings where it rockets up just after listing. And of course, then it turns out to sort of crumple to pretty much nothing. Yeah. And anyway, I'm not quite sure how SureServe is made up. I'd imagine it's old bits of Lakehouse plus other bits that have been added on. But when you sort of look at the positive sides of it, all the contracts they've got with big housing associations have got an index link. So, there's an inflation link there. So that's a really positive thing. They've got cash, which is always a nice situation.
That helps.
Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the world of energy. You've got the whole green net zero agenda thing, and you've got the transition to heat pumps, and there's so many things going on. And I think it's the same old story where a lot of these housing associations things and things don't want to run their own workforces for doing all this energy work. They're just happy to outsource it to another company. So I think that's the whole sort of rationale behind it. And I think when you look at the, I'll have a look now at the PEs and all that kind of stuff on SharePad. But I think it's quite attractive. From memory, I'll check the actual numbers in a second, but I think it's like on a
Like you say, they're in
forward.
the sweet spot, Pete. Energy-related things at the moment, the profitability on those and margins are actually going up, aren't they? So, it's in a sweet spot, mate. So,
Well,
good
you'd think
shout.
so, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd think it would be quite well placed. Just getting it now. I don't know why, but in my head, I think it's got something to do with MERS, MER, but I've probably just imagined that. I don't know. I don't know where I've
Can
got
do a
that
similar
from.
business. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the relationship there,
Yeah, maybe they're
but
just
you could be right.
similar.
Historically, going back to Lake House, I think there was a connection with Lake House and Mears.
Ah, and maybe that's
Maybe all the
it.
way back then.
Yeah.
If memory serves me right, that seems like a millennia away.
Well, I think it's something that if people were to fancy, should to have a look into and try and
Have a
establish
really good dig.
somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, on
Absolutely.
SharePad, it's got a forward PE of 10, falling to 9.7 2 years out. Doesn't appear to pay a dividend, so that's a bit of a sort of negative. But then, if they're focusing on growth, then that's perhaps not so bad.
I think this is what happens sometimes, Pete, is that you mentioned Lake House, and I went, wow, what is that? What it is really? And because of almost being tarnished by how bad Lake House did back then, despite the company now doing well, people with long memories are going, last time they were doing well, things went wrong, so I'm not going to go anywhere near it. So sometimes you've got to look at it. My thing, and you touched on it earlier, if new management have gone into
Good point.
SureServe, then it's almost a different. You've got to give it another chance, another
It's a different
look, because
story.
it's new management who've cleaned out all the rubbish. They've sorted it out now. They've got their books all sorted out. They've got cash on the balance. All them. So you've got to give these companies a new chance sometimes. And if you're one of the early ones that have seen, new CEO, new C, no C, new CFO, and they've got the balance and they're making profit, and sometimes you're getting early enough, whilst no one else is looking, that share price is going up on its own, profitably. Share price is going up, and you're in early. And boy, oh boy, can you make some hay whilst no one else is looking. And that's what I love buying stocks when no one else is looking at them. No one on Twitter is talking about that particular stock, are they?
No, I've seen it. A couple of people have got it, but not much.
Not
It's
many.
barely off the radar.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the ones I pick, Pete, off the radar.
I was looking at SharePad, the historic return on capital employed, ROCE, is 17.7 2 years ago, and 1 year ago, 21.8. So it appears to be pretty good at
Efficient.
returning on the capital it's investing.
That's a good shout. Good
Yeah,
shout, mate.
the other thing I was going to say about it is that forward PE of 10 on stocks like that are sort of construction related and stuff, they're never going to be on really high PEs. You're never going to see a stock like that on a PE of 20. It's just not going to happen. And I think you maybe if you could get some PE expansion, so that's where you buy the stock and then other people buy it, and it simply moves the PE from, say, a forward PE of 10, it might move it to a forward PE of 14 or 15. I think if it achieves that, you're talking 40, 50% upside. And that's before you've even got earnings growing. If the earnings grow and then it has the higher multiple applied to those higher earnings, then obviously it's going to drive the share price higher. But yeah, I wouldn't expect to sit on like a silly rating. It never really happens.
The beauty of it, you said that it doesn't pay. Did you say it doesn't pay a dividend at the moment?
I didn't think it did. It didn't seem to show one.
But the beauty of it is, Pete, if they come out at some point at the half year, full year, or whenever, in the next, and the profitability continues, to go, and we're going to pay a dividend. All of a sudden, everyone goes, "Oh, hello."
Yeah.
You know, let me have a bit of that, and the share price then goes whoosh because all these dividend and income seekers are on the stock. Share price takes off again.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point.
Always opportunities here where no one else is looking.
Those words, maiden dividend. When you see maiden dividend,
absolutely. That's often good. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, for some reason I went a bit rude then. I went, everyone loves a maiden. Anyway, moving on. Cricket term. It's a cricket term, Pete.
There's no stopping you tonight.
Maiden over. It's a maiden over, Pete.
Maiden over. I bet you've bowled a few maidens over in your time.
Absolutely, anyway. I have. Absolutely. Right. I'm going to quickly talk about one of our Twin Peaks challengers, quickly run through their portfolio that they've sent over to us. Sure. And that's a chap, maybe a chapass. It's Twitter handle GMF782. On Twitter. And that person chose the stocks, which are, Pete, EUA, which is Eurasia Minerals. Eurasia Mining.
Yeah.
SAL, which is Space and People, if I remember that one correctly.
Yeah, remember that's that one, Pete? Yeah, I know that, yeah.
I think it's Harlan Wolf, that one's going through that transition of building ships again and getting big contracts, and people are not quite sure whether it's gonna make it.
Yeah.
He's another person. Well, they're another person that chose Therissa. Yeah.
THS.
That's one of their picks.
THS.
And then you've got PPH. Yeah. THS. Yeah.
Yeah.
THS. And they also chose PPHE Hotel, which has had a really good run over the past umpteen years on their portfolio until summer of last year when it rolled over and came down about 50%, but it's on the move again. That's PPH, which is PPHE Hotel. So their stock. And I asked him about two of the stocks regarding that, Pete.
Yeah.
And they were the Eurasia Mining one, because I wanted to see what he said about it, primarily because it's got exposure to Russia. You know, we're still going on with that, those sort of things. And we know what happened to Russia stocks this time last year. Everyone was going, no, it'll be fine. And almost every single stock that was exposed to Russia got spanked 30, 40, 50, 60%. So maybe, you know, the view is that they might, you know, help once the war's over. So they replied, Eurasia Mining has Russia PGM assets, one operational and one tier one assets in northwest Russia. Tricky since February 2022, !! Should have added to Eurasia when they were seeking to sell the assets and invest in other jurisdictions. 80% ownership in tier one, in-ground, PGM, nickel, cobalt, resources over 100 billion. NPV over 8 billion, depending on risk viewpoint. Market cap of 110 million at 4p, down from 1.2 billion at peak valuation of the market cap. So looking for a bargain there. They could stay a bargain if the war carries on or something else happens in Russia. But if everything sorts itself out, it could be a bargain and the share price flies up or gets back halfway. Who knows?
I think,
but it's a very high risk one, Pete.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where either it's going to do absolutely nothing or it's going to win him or her the contest.
Absolutely. So high risk, high potential.
Utterly
one,
mega though. Or dead.
And the second one they responded to me on was regarding Sal. Which is Space and People, offers retail promotional spaces at shopping centres, which seems to be a theme today, and railway stations, market cap 1.4, very liquid. COVID beat it up. Recovery due, in my opinion. And that was from GMF782 talking about a couple of their stock. And that's me done, Pete. You can tell us about a few things if you want to.
Sales are funny one.
When you're ready.
Yeah, no, sales are funny one because it brings me out of cold sweat.
Why is that? Come on, explain.
I got burnt on sale years and years and years
ago. Oh, you don't forgive when you get burnt, mate, do you?
Oh, gets on my nerves. I'll tell you, I hate it. And it was one of those where it was really quite small. And it was sort of against my usual principles to buy something that small. I think at the time, from memory, I think it was probably about 16 million market cap or maybe smaller. And I bought some of it and, you know, it basically went wrong. And, it just became a really painful experience and it really annoyed me. And I think what annoyed me was I'd sort of broken my rules to buy it. And you sort of think, well, why did I break my rules? You know, like, why do you have rules if you just bloody ignore them all the time? I mean, it's daft. You got to have your rules. You got to stick to them. They're there for a reason.
We all do it because we see a bargain. And when we see a bargain, we think, no one else has spotted it.
Yeah.
You know, and other people then might say, oh, there's news coming down. Or the management come out and start telling you there's the momentum coming. And we think, well, why is no one else looking at it? I'll have some of that. And then the news that the CEO, CFO has been talking about takes longer and longer or never happens. And the share price just drifts and drifts and drifts. And you're like, well, the news is going to come soon. And then it doesn't come. Or it comes after you've sold it.
It's just flipping.
Yeah, I've got plenty of experiences from that, mate. Lots and lots of losers, mate. In fact, I think I'll start talking more about my losers going forward, you know, than any of my multi-baggers.
Mate, we haven't got enough time for my losers. It would need like the next 20 years of podcast just to do my losers.
We've all got losers, mate. The difference is me and you talk about them when they happen. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We talk about them when they happen. We don't disappear off Twitter, mate. So I want to share with some people here. Sorry, Pete. Just want to grab this in now.
Carry on.
The latest Investing Matters podcast is with a phenomenal woman fund manager, female fund manager, which we need to just cheer these fantastic fund managers, even more so when they're female, because as I keep reiterating on here, much to people's, anger, historically and from various different pieces of research, female women investors are better than men. Just suck it up, guys. That's what the research says. And this lady's called Fatima Yu, fund manager at Polar Capital Global Technology Team within the Polar Capital Technology Team. And we talked about Polar's analytical methodology, the Polar Capital Trust, PCT, tech investing.
That.
We talked about AI, ESG, NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft, Google, RELX, which not many people talk about. It's a technology company, one to keep an eye on. I hope it stays independent and nobody comes and buys it. But find it on my Twitter handle or find it at InvestMatt Podcast, Investing Matters. Just search that into Twitter. And you can find it on Spotify, on the Investing Matters Podcast. Phenomenal interview. Anybody interested in anything related to tech needs to go and have a listen to that, please. And I'm sure you'll be impressed with what she does, how the team does it. And you'll find some fantastic insights on all things technology-based, Pete.
RELX used to be, it's R-E-L is the code, used to be Reed Elsevier, didn't it?
Absolutely. And they used to do lots of exhibitions and promotional events. That's what was part of their big, big push. And it's amazing. I've looked at the chart on it after she discussed it. And it's one of them that got impacted, but not as impacted as it should have done during lockdown. You're thinking, well, that's a big chunk of their business. Surely if they're not doing any promotions and events and live facing events, they're going to get crushed. It got impacted, but not as much. And right now, the share price is going whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah,
strong companies, Pete.
Historically, Reed Elsevier has been incredible. Over the last 15 years, it's been an absolute monster stock. And you know, you can almost guarantee nobody holds it.
This is it, Pete. Buy the best quality companies, not the mid caps, small caps, nano caps, AIM stocks that everyone's talking about, and you'll invariably outperform everybody else. Buy the best quality stuff. It's got a good balance sheet, great management. They've been through all these different cycles. They've not been IPO'd 3 years, 4 years, 5 years ago, and you're gonna outperform most people.
I think with reinvested dividends, it's been an absolute monster.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
it's been a stunner. Mate, I'll just throw one in very quickly. I don't particularly want
Go
to
for
talk
it.
about it, but it was one I'd noticed yesterday. Scottish TV, STVG. Yeah. I noticed that Progressive Research have done a note about it, and they're on Twitter and stuff. And I got a feeling there's a link on Twitter for the actual report. But the thing that struck me about it was that they said that there was two things that were really driving STVG, and that was increased streaming and them moving to producing more content. So I thought that was interesting. So if people are interested in that stock, dig out the Progressive Research report. It's probably worth reading. But anyway, I was just throwing that in because I don't really know anything about it. I mean, the way I see it is it's just like it's the ITV of Scotland, isn't it? That's how I sort of view it.
I think they'll probably say a bit more than that, Pete, but yeah, that's, I mean, the basic, I mean, that's how I viewed it historically as well, but without being rude, they do a lot more than that. But yeah, it's one of them companies that's been around forever. I think it's been deemed a perennial takeover target. Lots of people just assume that it's going to be taken over by ITV, and at some point it might well happen. You know, there's very few independent TV channels left, so, and in
I
fact it
think,
might be one of the few left,
from
so
memory, I think it's
yeah.
quite a low rating as well. I think it might be on like a 4p or 6 or something. You need to check that, but I think it was looking
Yeah.
quite cheap.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
one I go on.
Sorry, go. I was going to say it's an interesting call, an interesting stock.
One I sort of prefer to talk about really is JTC. Do you know that JTC?
Is that the insurance firm?
No, well, it sort of is. It's
Financial
like,
services?
yeah, that's him. That's the chap. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's amazing because it's a sort of financial services administration kind of company. So when you get
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Fund managers and you get I guess people well, all sorts of companies and that, you have like Equiniti and thing who do the sort of administration and stuff. It's almost a bit like that, I think, and they do like administration for fund managers and hedge funds and all sorts of things. And I guess it's that outsourcing thing again. I think they sort of outsource a lot of their work. And
Yeah.
and so basically it's like sort of business process outsourcing. That's how I think you'd really sort of see it conceptually and very much in
Yeah.
the finance sector. But it's been listed for probably 5 years or something, I guess. But it's always struck me as a quite an impressive company, and it just seems to be sort of doing quite well, really. And it's like despite all the woes in the markets and whatever, the business always seems to be doing pretty well. So I think that could be one almost along the Riedel Savior lines that you could sort of buy it, park some money in it. I mean, obviously we're not recommending stocks here or whatever, we're just talking, just giving our
Research,
views
just
here.
research ideas, and you
Yeah,
don't own it,
just
and I don't own it, Pete.
no,
I
not
think
at
you're spot
all.
on. It's about choosing these solid in the, you know, solid sort of companies that go about their business quietly. No one on Twitter's talking about them, and they're going on. This is actually, I just pulled it up here. It's one of the stocks I've got. For those that haven't found me yet on Twitter, I do a daily RNS feed, and I only choose what I deem to be like bullish headlines. For people to research as ideas, and about a week, just what were I mean, a week ago, yeah, 6 days ago, six trading
It's
days
probably
ago,
about that,
it came out with strong organic growth and record new business wins deliver good momentum into 2023. So that was a really good news for them, going forward. I think that's really good, and it's been around forever, like you say, Pete, and they just keep banging it out the park, and no one talks about them because they're not a not a company that's, you know, going like that, singing Hallelujah every day, and haven't got a cohort of people saying this is the best stock since sliced bread, you know.
Yeah, looking on SharePad, it's on a forward PE of 23.5, and that drops to 21 2 years out. So it's a fairly high rating, but not a stupid rating, but a high
premium
rating.
For quality, mate. Premium for quality.
Yeah, you sometimes got to pay for quality. It's on a forward dividend of 1.3%, rising to 1.4%. Doesn't seem to have a lot of debt. Interestingly, return on capital employed. Oh, we got some good figures. We got historic 10.9 2 years ago, and then 1 year ago, 8.3. Forward ROCE, 9.7%. 2 year forecast ROCE, 10.8%. So it looks like it's sort of, I mean, obviously the forecast ones are forecasts. You've got to bear that in mind. Yeah. So it looks like a sort of reasonable return on capital employed around that 10% level, but it looks steady. And I think steady is a good thing with ROCE, I think.
No, good call, mate. Absolutely good call. I like when companies are just doing what they're doing quietly. Quiet stocks, no noise, not loads of people shouting from the rooftops about it on a daily basis. And, you know, if you want to have a stock where, you know, can avoid the traders, absolutely, why not?
You know? Yeah, I think it's not going to make you 100% in a day, but it's the kind of thing where you could put your money in it.
But the people that got 100% on this day have been down 70% for the past six months, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and some of them may not be at break even. Yeah. So, you know, after this 100% rise, so I'd sooner be in RELX and JTC going forward, mate, than, you know, having spent 2 or 3 years holding, you know, 7DIG. So.
And they haven't slept very well either. That's
absolutely the trauma of, you know, what's going to happen next to it. So no, all good, mate. Is that you done, Pete?
Yeah, I think that's all the ones I wanted to cover. You got anything you want to cover, mate?
No, I've been. I mean, other than saying I'm building a current REIT/infrastructure related little mini portfolio. I've got too much cash sloshing around after trimming. I sold Bunzl outright. Obviously, I've mentioned before, I've trimmed heavily into AstraZeneca. So I've been recycling that money and hoping for it to get safe haven status in stuff that won't profit warn. I'm currently on 5, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Since we started this year, 5 profit warnings, Pete.
Not cool.
So, no, the portfolio is okay because they're smaller positions, but 5, mate. So, yeah, it happens.
Yeah,
just take it with a pinch of salt. So, I'm building a REIT/infrastructure little mini portfolio. I'm going to put about 4 or 5 stocks in there. I've almost finished buying them. And I'll put the contract notes out on Twitter at some point so people can have a look at what those are.
So are you trying to do sort of similar to what I do in my income portfolio, where it's a sort of park it, buy it and forget it kind of thing? Is that what you're doing or what?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got cash sitting. You know, the other people, I had this discussion with some people and including a fund manager. If you're stupid enough like me to leave a bunch of change sitting on the X platform, who makes money off that money?
Totally.
Yeah, that platform is making money off my money, and I'm sitting there getting no interest
fortune.
On it whatsoever.
They're making
a fortune. I could even get 2.5% in the bank.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. IG Index and their latest results. If you look at IGG, their latest results. They say in there they made a load of money off of the client money that they hold.
Off deposits doing nothing.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't own IG, but old IG.
I do.
I'm making money for another company. You know. By having a stupid amount of cash just sitting there waiting. I'm waiting to pounce, Pete. But so I thought, you know what? Be sensible here.
But even
put some of that money into some REITs. I'm paying 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% discount to NAV. Sit it, park it, reinvest the dividends as they come. One of them's going next div tomorrow. That's a clue. You can go search that if you want. I'll disclose and put the contract notes out in due course.
Sounds cool, mate. I was going to say, even if you're holding cash at your bank, I mean, I imagine it's hard to even get 3% on a bank. Even
it's under two. Under two, yeah.
Yeah, even with the increases in interest rates and stuff, it hasn't really dripped through much
You've not
to
kept up,
actually.
Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. And the
But you know
ones.
what's gone up, Pete? The interest rates have gone up. Guess what? People's mortgages have gone up, mate.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah,
Your
exactly.
cash on deposit is trailing the rise in the mortgage. That's gone
Absolutely.
what? And the your yeah, double standards, mate. Double
Usual thing, mate.
standards.
Usual thing. What do you expect, hey?
Yeah, dude. Right, folks, that is it. That is Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 94. Thank you all once again for your kindness. Thank you all once again for your feedback. Really, really appreciate it. Pete and I have tried to reply to all of you. Apologies if we've missed any of you. Please give us your feedback if you've enjoyed this podcast. If you haven't enjoyed it, give us your feedback. And if you have not yet registered and subscribe to the YouTube channel, please, 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 please do so. And if you've got any money down the back of your sofa, or you've got a fiver or a tenner, please, please, please go to the Just Giving page and make a donation to Memphis. Charities out there really, really, they're all really, really struggling. So if you can donate to Memphis, that'll be one less charity that's struggling going forward. And just thanks again for supporting us with all that you the things that you guys and ladies do on Twitter with your comments about the podcast. It's really good to see. Keeps me and Pete motivated to go forward with more support and educational material for you, ladies and gents, and hoping, you know, from the comments we've got and had, it's helping some people make some thinking and decisions regarding what they do from some of the things that we share. So we hope that we're helping you to make some money and save some money. So that's what we're trying to do. Pete, any comments?
No, that's it. Fantastic. Thanks for watching, everybody, and thanks for following us, and thanks for giving the comments, and see you next time.
Okay, folks, ladies and gents, take care, stay safe. God bless you all.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.